Hello, everyone. This episode will be entirely done off the top of my head. I'm in that kind of mood. Let's go. So, how would I go about strip clubs, you're probably wondering, since I'm focusing on responding to sex and romance moving forward. Well, it's not safe for me to go to strip clubs. And I came to that conclusion because I said, Antonio, talking to me, I said, self, you will be confused with male misogynists if you go. You will be conflated with male pigs if you go, rewording myself, making the same statement in different manners, but that's exactly what I said to myself. I said the reason why that is because even though I am healing when it comes to the women aspect of my existence, and even though I am growing in my verbal sensitivity and nonverbal sensitivity towards women each and every day and each and every night, my being a humanitarian, environmentalist, and animal protector would be soiled and stained because it would confuse people, honestly. It would bewilder people, befuddle people, baffle people, and it would be disconcerting to people because they're like, hey, you had a misogynistic childhood and we know that's not your fault. So why are you at this type of venue where you know that there are some sexual harassers in male bodies? I would be identified with them. Don't get me wrong, most people at strip clubs are not sexual harassers, referring to the patrons, referring to the bouncers, and referring to the strippers and dancers themselves. However, everything I think, say, do, and feel has to be easily defended by the human rights movement, the civil and political rights movement, and the economic and social cultural rights movements. So there are people within these movements, some enjoy strip clubs. The reason why I am precluded from going to strip clubs is because, yeah, you have the loudmouth media and you have blabbermouth busybodies who are nosy, right? And then the most important people are the feminists. And it would be hard to for me to reconcile my being one of the champions of women and being at a place such as a strip club, because they would go, but Antonio, you're working so hard to overcome misogyny that you grew up with. You're working so hard to overcome the male misogyny of your childhood and the female misogyny of your childhood. I don't understand how you can say you're healing those traumas directed at women, but you're at this kind of place. And I said to myself, it would be difficult, excruciatingly speaking, to be able to talk to feminists about that. So the third reason is I don't want to be expelled from the Me Too movement, because it's so much easier for me to be easily defended by the Me Too movement when they can say, well, Antonio is truly repairing the damage of sexism of his boyhood. And then they might feel like, well, can we really believe him since he's in that kind of environment? So these are the things I have to consider. And when you're a global icon, you can't just go to places and people ignore you. When you're a global icon, people that pay attention to you are the ones that you want them to pay attention to you. And the ones that you don't want to pay attention to you, they're going to pay attention to you too. I'm talking about people you know, I may not get along with, and then there are people that you do get along with, that type of thing. So I'm not attacking strip clubs. As you know, I'm a sex positive feminist, so there are strip clubs that are a phylogeny, the love, admiration, and respect of women. So those kind of strip clubs do exist. But overall, I wouldn't also be able to go because I would not want to be accused of being an exploiter. Someone who is known to be a divide and conquer type of person that has profitability to it. So this is what I decided to do instead. I said, well, let's say I have strippers in my life that I have a wholesome relationship with. We have wholesome dynamics. We do the reciprocal exchange of give and take. And give and take means that they are positive people in my life, I'm a positive person in their life, and there is no economic abuse between each other. There is no bodily exploitation of each other. There is no heart scars between each other that we cause each other. We don't hurt each other. And let's say they're like, well, Antonio, I respect you and your legacy, and I'll give you private strip shows, private strip teases, and, you know, private table dancing, private dance of the seven veils, private twerking, private bumping and grinding, private neo-burlesque, we'll be your private exotic dancers and private erotic dancers. You can come to where we live and my stripper pole, you'll be the only one that I use the pole for. And I know you're not the type that tends to throw money at women. That's just not your thing. So what we will do is make sure you're well fed, make sure you're well hydrated with the food and drinks of your choosing, and we'll give you the greatest shows of your life. And they'll be like, we'll give you private lap dances. And it'll be like, basically private sensual dancing too. And just private stripping. That way, I'm experiencing healthy adult entertainment, and at the same time, I'm balancing my not ruining my calling either, because I can have my grown adult fun, and at the same time, no one can say I am of commodification. No one can say that I am of objectification either. My calling, I said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm meant to be a global itinerant humanitarian, a global itinerant environmentalist, and a global itinerant animal cruelty prevention specialist. That's what I'm called on Earth to do. So everything I think, say, and do has to be in alignment with my calling. But I can also, when it comes to my biological needs and other people's biological needs, I'm not too much, they're not too much. I'm not too little, they're not too little. I'm just right and they're just right. That's how I have to be. Now, many people ask me, so Antonio, how would you how would you go about BDSM clubs? Well, here's what I'll do. I recognize that, again, you have the media and the blabbermouth, so I can't even go to BDSM clubs. I would do BDSM type of things in the homes of people that are safe people. I mention homes a lot because to constantly try to have adult fun outside of your home, there's not, you know, trustworthiness is, doesn't come around every day. So homes are the best and most effective way to give healthy satisfaction, receive healthy satisfaction without being put on Front Street. So for me, with BDSM clubs, I feel like something like that would have to happen in a person's home. I may have to come earlier when nobody's there, meaning nobody that's a blabbermouth. Like, I may have to come in, I may have to come early and leave before it really starts jumping off, like everybody coming in. I know not everybody comes to BDSM clubs. I'm talking about everybody that goes to BDSM clubs. So in that case, I may have to come early and leave early. Like, they may have to open it before they open it to everybody else. They may say, hey, it's open for you and whoever you're with. And they may say, hey, you know, they may tell me when I would have to leave. They're like, Antonio, you know, in an hour or 30 minutes, it's going to be open to everybody. So this is the part where you know, we'll give you time to skedaddle. So I would have to either do that, or I would have to come later when everybody's gone. They'd be like, hey, Antonio, we keeping it open just for you. So be here as much as you like. Do your thing with whoever you're with. And then they'll say, hey, Antonio, we about to close, so we're going to help you with your stuff so you can roll out. Either those alternatives, or it might be, hey, man, there's no way that we can guarantee that your privacy and confidentiality will be honored. So they may say, but I know some people who tend to do what we do, the BDSM clubs in their homes, so I'll connect you with them. They safe people. So I'd have to do that. And you're just probably wondering, Antonio, is that serious? For real? Yeah. Certain callings cause you not to be able to do certain things. Because I'm global, right? When you do a podcast like I do, you're global. That means everybody can hear you. So the reason why I'm being honest about these things is a lot of people don't talk about how do public figures get their sexual needs met, and how do public figures get their romantic needs met? And I'm here to tell you, these are some of the things that we think of doing and actually do. For me, the next thing is this. Many people ask me, well, Antonio, how will you go about date nights? Because I know you're an attractive soul, and you have a luscious figure about yourself. So how are you going to handle being lovey-dovey with someone in terms of Friday night, Saturday night, or Sunday night? Hell, even a weekday night before Friday, like a Thursday night, how are you going to handle yourself? Well, that's very it's intricate. It's like, well, because they're, you know, who, you know, because the people who we're with, they don't want to be in the home all the time. And I don't blame them, because I don't want to be in the home all the time either. So what I would have to do is I would have to rent a place. Or some people may say, hey, Antonio, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to charge you for you and your date being secluded somewhere in the restaurant. We'll only charge you for the meals y'all have. And they may say, because you're so awesome, we'll discount you. Or, you know, because you are so helpful, it's free of charge. Whenever we say it's free of charge, you know, because you've helped us out so much in terms of the acts of kindness you've done for us, we got you. So this is how it may work. I may have to come in when people usually don't come in the restaurant. It could be light and it's walled off. And I may have to exit in a secret entrance. They may have to create a secret entrance where they're like, okay, Antonio, come in this way. You're the only one that can come in the back door this way. Everybody else got to come in the front door. Or they may have to create a side door for me and my date. Like, hey, Antonio, you know, your ride's outside. So, yeah. You just skadoodle, man. It's time to go. You know, I don't want people to see y'all like that. So it's time for your date. All right, you know, you got to go this way. So I may have to get the side door treatment or the back door treatment, where I have to exit. So I have to, it's a secret entrance and a secret exit. Like, sometimes as us public figures, we may have to do secret passageways. Nobody knows how we enter. Nobody knows how we leave other than me and the establishment. They're not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to tell anybody. My date's not going to tell anybody. So I may have to come in when not a lot of people. So I may have to have my date night, like, usually Monday nights, that's when people are getting used to being back at work, being in school. So whoever I'm with has a schedule where, okay, we're going to come to this restaurant or a movie theater or ice cream parlor or wherever we are, where we have to enter secretly, exit secretly, and come in when it's little to no people there. So we would have to do things like that. And some places we may have to rent it. And some places that me and my dates go to, we may at times have to rent it for that day. And since I don't want my date to be worried, I'll be like, you know, I'll fit the bill. You know, I'll rent it out. And, you know, that's, you have nothing to worry about. As long as I rent it out, you're fine. Some of my dates might go, I don't want you to always pay the whole rent out for the day. I'll pitch in, and I'm not going to stop them from pitching in, you know. And so going out may mean, well, even picking each other up and dropping each other off or going to each other's homes, we would have to do so in a way that isn't boisterous and isn't obnoxious. And that's challenging, because when you live somewhere, everybody is going to know who the neighbors are. which means they may see you and whoever you're with. For me, I would have to make sure that they and I have the kind of neighbors wherever I go, wherever they go, that respect us so much. They're like, you know, we're not going to lip service them. You know, they're decent humans, so we love who and what they are. We're not telling the media anything. We're not blabbermouthing the blabbermouths. No, we're going to honor their privacy and confidentiality. And even in death, we are so committed to Antonio and whoever he's with. We're still not going to say anything. Nobody can get us to say anything. Because as a public figure, some people will keep your secrets, in this case, healthy secrets, until you die. Then they start verbalizing them. The type of people I would be cool with, they're like, even in death, we have nothing to say. What for? Certain things that Antonio and whoever he's with did is harmless. And at the same time, they have the right to privacy even in death. We're not going to do that because Antonio and whoever he's with, they're kind to us. We kind to them. They were kind to us when we were alive. We're going to be kind to them even though they're dead. Because they're like, everything about Antonio does not need to be broadcasted. He's not doing anything wrong. He's nothing to hide at the same time. Who are we to not respect their wishes? You know, because there'll be people that be like, that will know that I don't want all, like, if I date somebody or have multiple dates, right? And I say to them, honestly, I don't want everything about my dates to be out there in terms of them. I don't want everything about my relationship with them, the relationship with me, to be out there, because they're things that are sacred to us. They're not illegal. They're not immoral. But at the same time, not all of my dates are public figures. Some are private people. And I want to be a private person with these private people. So that's how it's going to be. Now, you're probably wondering, how am I going to go about times where I can't have sex because of what I'm called to do? Well, I don't do sexual underconsumption. In other words, I don't sexually frustrate anyone, not even myself. I don't cause sexual tension between anybody and myself. I'm not of sexual underindulgence, okay? So there are times where because I'm working with adults and children, because I'll be taking care of the environment, because I'm safeguarding animals, there'll be a lot of times where I won't be able to have sex. And that is what my calling demands. So how will I handle my urges? Well, here's the thing. I will do my favorite hobbies in order to channel my sexual energy into doing other things that keeps my heart joyful. Because of what I'm called to do, yes, I will have nocturnal emissions, which is okay. I'm human, right? Most human beings have nocturnal emissions at some point in their lives, so I have that. Will I do self-pleasure? Only if the urges are, like, really powerful, that then I'll only self-pleasure to release. And once the horniness is gone, then I'll go back to doing my favorite hobbies. I'm not the type that masturbates all day. Only if my urges are just, like, really overwhelming, I'll just release, self-ejaculate, clean myself up, and then go back to doing my calling and doing my favorite hobbies. And I think, I don't mind y'all knowing this, because these are things that public figures go through. Me, my sexual calling is to, I'm not talking about my other callings. I say sexual calling because my calling does relate to sex in a sense. My sexual calling in this case is to recognize that I'll experience nocturnal emissions more than sex. I have to say no to sex more than I get to say yes to it. Because of what I'm called to do. When you're constantly rehabilitating the lives of adults and children, when you're constantly doing things that remind you of the Habitat for Humanity, and even caring about climate change, and caring about not loitering and picking up the trash, and even cutting grass with those who mow the lawn too, and just making sure the streets and nature are clean, and, you know, making sure that animals are well cared for. Then that also means I have to say no to kissing, then yes to kissing. I have to say no to masturbation more than I want to masturbate, then yes to masturbation. I have to say no to porn more than I actually want to watch it. I have to say no to erotica more than I actually want to view it. And I have to say no to eroticism more than I actually want to engage in it. So my calling requires that kind of sexual discipline. Because I am a prodigious genius, and because I'm above average in terms of my human nobility in character, that means that I get to have sex dreams more than actually have sex in real life. I've said these things before, but I'm giving you new details now. Like, what is it like for me? When you're constantly, like me, you know, traveling and out in public with people, because as a public figure, you can't totally run from the public. And because people are watching me, the ones that I see watch me, and the ones that watch, that they see me but I don't see them, this is why my romantic self-discipline and sexual self-control and healthy erotic discipline have to be in place. When you're a global icon, that means the ones you want watching you, the ones you don't want watching you, they're both watching you. I'm talking about people I get along with, people I don't get along with, that kind of thing. They're watching. So it's like, well, I'm the type of person that I am of integrity, all areas of life, including romance and sex, even when nobody's watching and there's no false motives for why I am all these ways. So, what I will say is that it's like saying no to dating more than I get to say yes to it. Now, I will have plenty of time for sex, for dating, and romance. I know that for a fact. However, a lot of times I'll be working. A lot of times I'll be living with people. A lot of times I'll be doing journalistic work. A lot of times I'll be doing commentator work. A lot of times I have to go to social events with people. So when you're constantly around people, it, for me, makes me have to be more mindful of my own habits and the habits of others. Like, I have to, so now people ask me, so Antonio, how will you go about comedy shows, comedy clubs? For me, I have to be careful which comedians I go see. Because if I'm at a comedy club, that's fine. Because, okay, Antonio likes to laugh. Antonio's having a good time. So that's not harmful to my calling at all. But I do have to be careful of which comedians I pay to go see. Because who I pay to go see and they see me laughing at jokes, that says a lot of, that'll say a lot about me. I haven't been to a comedy show in a while. Because I've been thinking about these kind of things. Like, okay, I'm becoming more and more serious about my calling each day. So I have to think about, okay, what type of comedians am I? Do I have to go see? Because comedians that none of their jokes are evil spirit or mean spirited, and you don't always have to defend them because usually they're reputable people. I have to be selective in the comedians that I will be interacting with and going to their shows. Because the world of comedy, especially right now, you got comedy feuds, you have cancel culture is real, and you have comedians who, then there's the dark side of comedy. Don't get me wrong, comedy is all overall beautiful, and the majority of comedians are wonderful. I just have to be mindful of comedic genres and humor styles when I go to comedy shows. I have to be very, very careful with that. I don't want to get in trouble with any kind of advocacy for the oppressed groups and individuals. And how does that relate to sex and romance? Well, sometimes comedians joke about sex and romance. A lot of their material covers these major human subjects. So I gotta be careful of what I find funny in public and in private. So I gotta be careful. I see comedians. I gotta be careful with how I respond to them talking about children and women and LGBTQ plus and so on, like they do. So I have to mind myself on these things. Okay, getting back to sex and romance fully. How would I handle sex moving forward? I'll definitely make this clear. As a ambiamorous person, I'm open to casual non-monogamy and casual monogamy. I'm also open to commitment monogamy. I am. I'm open to romantic non-monogamy, which, you know, like all forms of polyamory. I'm open to open relationships and swinging. And but I would do these things. I would do all the above. Well, I'm open to all the above. From the standpoints of being considerate of myself, them, and others. no inconsideration at all whatsoever. And that's how I truly feel. And I'll definitely say this. I'm a respecter of women, meaning I respect women. There are some women who have, in the past, have referred to me as a gentleman whore. That's what they said. I'm quoting them. I'm not being misogynistic. I'm giving you a fact about my life. And some women have told me, some, not all, some, that, Antonio, you're the type of person where you being promiscuous with women and your casual sex with women, they told me, I'm not offended by that because you respect our bodies. You respect our hearts. You respect our souls. You respect our minds. You respect our memories. You respect our touch. You respect our taste. You respect our sight. You respect our hearing. And you respect our smell. You respect all things us. You respect everything about us. And they say you respect our personalities. You respect our temperaments. Respect our goals, you respect our dreams, you respect our mission, you respect our values, you respect our principles, you respect our integrity, you treat us with substance, with effectiveness, with care, concern, and compassion, you treat us with neighborliness and empathy, we like that you're no nonsense with us. And there's still some women who feel that way about me today. Am I offended by it? No, here's why. They emphasize the chivalry that I see them and treat them with for all the morally right reasons. So there's some women who go, Antonio, not every woman will agree with this, and some women will take offense to this, and I respect the ones who take offense to it. I respect women in general, even ones that are not offended by it. So I'm just saying that some women will go, well, because you're a good, honorable, courteous, very hospitable, polite, sensitized, and soft-hearted toward us. Some women have told me that some of us want to share our bodies and our souls with you because you make us feel like a brand natural woman. R-E-S-P-C-T, you found out what it means to me. And you take care of PCT. Some women have actually said these things to me. Yes, they did make these pop culture references to old school classic songs. They did. And some will say, you know, Antonio. Some women will go, you know, Antonio. They would say, Antonio, you're not playing the field. You're serious about us. Which means you're serious about the field. Someone have actually said that. They said, you know, I wouldn't even call you a playboy because you're a serious man. And they said, basically what they're saying in a nutshell is this. Antonio, you can have your fun because you take us seriously. You can have your fun because you take yourself seriously. So they're like, well, I wouldn't describe you in those ways. They would go, yeah, it's okay if you're ethically non-monogamous with women. That's okay. Because you don't treat us as piles of rubbish that is tossed on sidewalks and eventually finds its way in the dumpster. You don't treat us as meat being sold in grocery stores. You don't treat us as shit to be flushed down toilets. You don't treat us as mud piles. They said that to me. That's why they're like, you know, Antonio, we don't even have to have the birth control conversation with you. That's how sound-minded you are. And some women like Antonio, I like, you know, if people want to call you gentleman whore, they go, well, yeah. They like, some women have called me that in the past, and some like that title regarding me, because there's like, we emphasize the fact that you hold the door for women for all the right reasons. You never try to get in a woman's dress, nor a woman's pants, nor a woman's skirt, nor a woman's pajamas, nor a woman's shorts, or a woman's blouse. You don't try to have sex with women at all. You just want to engage in intellectual intimacy with us, emotional intimacy with us, spiritual intimacy with us, and psychological intimacy with us. And you're not a taker when it comes to us. You're always a giver. And they would say, you want our company so you can genuinely make our lives better continuously. And they have said to me, Antonio, you are a man of truth. There's nothing false in you. You don't have ulterior motives of personal gain when it comes to us. They told me, you're not a gain the whole world but lose your soul kind of dude. And they said to me, you're not a gain the whole world of women but lose your soul of women honoring masculinity. And they said to me, you know, Antonio, you're the kind of man where you handle sexual rejection well. You can still be true friends with a woman that sexually turns you down, romantically turns you down. And they said, that makes us kind of women. Some of us may actually change our minds simply because you said no, because the way you handle this, go, you know what? Maybe I should date this guy. Maybe I should sleep with this guy because he takes no gracefully. He doesn't flip the fuck out on us. And there's some sexual no's, and romantic no's always be no's. But either way, Antonio does not throw misogynistic slur at us just because we don't say yes to him all the time. And we don't throw any misandry slurs at him because he doesn't say yes to us all the time. And sometimes Antonio will gracefully sexually reject, romantically reject, but we're not going to victimize him and he doesn't victimize us. So there's some women that feel like, well, Antonio, the fact that every woman's not attracted to you doesn't bother you, and that you naturally just respect all women no matter what. And they said, well, that's why some of us don't mind sharing you, not because we can't get a good man of our own. It's just, you know, one of the reasons why we bond with each other so well is because we love to have you in common. Yeah, we have common ground on other things, but it's really our favorite to have you as the big common ground that we have with each other as women. And so it's not the bad kind like it was in my past. I'm talking about years after that, just interacting with women moving forward. That's how what some have recently, even in the past years after the sexual past I had, tell me these kind of things. And they said, Antonio, one of the reasons why we're so attractive because you would also make an excellent husband, a fabulous father. You would be in the home and you would willingly pay up for your child. Nobody has to take you to court for it. And you wouldn't be in and out of jail. You wouldn't be you wouldn't be the type that impregnates a lot of women and they would have to primarily take care of the kids. That's just not you. And they also told me, you know, yeah, there are some women that want you to be a family man to them. They want to have you off to themselves, and I appreciate them feeling that way. They said, a lot of us feel that way about you. Then they said, there's some women who go, well, I want Antonio inside me. I want Antonio to always have his pickings of women, not out of entitlement. They're like, Antonio, you're not an entitlement theory type of person. You're not an entitlement person. You're not a sexual entitlement, romantic entitlement type of person. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why we're so attracted to you. Plus, we don't impose ourselves on you because we honor your trigger sensitivities and you honor our trigger sensitivities. And then they said, well, you know, Antonio, we don't have this. We don't force romance and sex on each other. We don't have this, you have to give it up, or you have to have me take you out on a Friday night. They're like, you're not, we're not that way to you. You're not that way to us. But we, you know, they said, we don't do entitlement when it comes to each other. You and us women. You don't, we don't do the whole, when it comes to sex and romance, we're entitled to each other. And when it comes to outside of sex and romance, entitled to each other, they're like, no, we don't do any kind of entitlement when it comes to each other. That's just not a part of our characters as fully human beings. So, am I offended by any statements? No, because it's coming from a place of harmlessness, not harmfulness, you know. And for me, these were, I didn't make women say these things. They have said these things on their own. I don't force women to do anything they don't want to do. They don't force anything we don't want to do. We don't force anything on each other, verbally, not verbally, at all whatsoever. I remember the women telling me that they dislike male pigs having casual sex with women, being promiscuous with women, because of their disdain for the bodily integrity and bodily autonomy of women. They're meaning, referencing the male pigs, and how the male pigs dishonor the heart integrity and heart autonomy of women. And they said, well, male pigs being man whores, as they said, is always evil and toxic. And they said, you, however, Antonio, you're exempt from that because you're the type that, for all the right reasons, you'll put on a help a woman put her coat on and help take her coat off. You'll stand when a woman enters and exits the room. You'll offer her a seat, whether she's pregnant, whether she, you know, even if she's not someone you're attracted to, or even someone you're attracted to, you don't allow looks to stop you from being legitimately kind to a woman. When you say ma'am, it's coming from a pure heart, and you're the type that will put the mud, you're the type that will put your coat in the mud and let the woman walk over it so she won't get drenched with bacteria. And they say you're the type that will walk closest to the sidewalk arm in arm with the woman, locking arms as a way of making sure she's safe. And you're the type that will pay for the meal if you got to eat with a woman. And you're the type that will walk a woman to her car or to her taxi or to her Uber, to her Lyft, or to her home, you know, before you go ahead to your home. You're the type that will have an umbrella and have the umbrella over her to make sure that she's fine. You know, you have her wear your umbrella. And they say you're the type that writes sweet love letters, sweet kind letters to a woman. They said you're the type that doesn't use your technology nor a phone when you're with a woman, and you give the woman for undivided attention. You're the type that will look a woman in the eye when you're talking to her instead of her chest region. And they said, Antonio, we notice how smooth you are in terms of checking out women. You will glance, or you will take a look, but you don't linger. You're not ogling, you're not staring, you're not even glaring at us. And they said to me, the fact that you don't try to have as much sex with many women as you possibly can, they said that's one of the reasons why we appreciate you so much. In fact, they said, to be honest, the fact that you don't try that meaning, again, have as much sex with as many women as you possibly can, they said, we know that naturally you're going to have endless women to date and to have sex with. That's what they told me. I'm not saying any of these things to just say them. I'm just telling you my conversations with women. They don't mind y'all knowing, by the way. Y'all meaning the listeners. And They said, to be honest, Antonio, we know that naturally you're going to have countless sex with countless women, and you're not even trying. It's just naturally happening. And these women enjoy you for who you are as a person, and your looks is just a nice bonus, but it's because of your gentle, generous spirit towards women. And they said, some of us women look at you as daddy. I had to take a breather on that. And that's a big deal. They said, well, because you know how to nourish and nurture the little girl within us. And they said, some of us women naturally look at you as a husband because you know how to romantically satiate and romantically pleasure a woman. And they said that, you know, you're not afraid to show your lovey-dovey side. And they said to me that you're not afraid to show the feminine side to you. And, I say all these things not to brag, not to toot my own horn, but I felt like this was appropriate to the conversation because it gives you an understanding of more of my romantic ethics and not just sexual ethics. I know you're wondering how I will go about sex conferences, sex conventions, porn conventions, and porn conferences. I decided if I'm one of the panelists, I'll go. If I'm not one of the panelists, I won't go. So if I'm a panelist and I am, or let's just say I'm a moderator. If I'm a moderator, also I'll go. If I'm not a moderator, I won't go. So example. So if, let's say I'm a moderator and or panelist, it would be safe for me to go because I'll be emphasizing racial justice, sexual justice, reproductive justice, political justice, economic justice, social justice, cultural justice, environmental justice, equal justice, city justice, state justice, county justice, country justice, national justice, international justice, local justice, island justice, bodily integrity, bodily autonomy, sexual orientation justice, gender identity justice, sex characteristics justice, and that's exactly why I would be able to attend, because it would make the human rights movement proud to claim me. It would make the equal rights movement proud to claim me. It'll make the civil political rights movement proud to claim me. It'll make the economic, social, and cultural rights movement proud to claim me. It would make the Me Too movement proud of me, the Church Too movement proud of me, the Him Too movement proud of me, the Time's Up movement proud of me, the environmentalist movement proud of me, the animal rights movement proud of me. So I can definitely go as long as I go under these conditions. And I feel that I could represent us abuse survivors well, and they and my fellow survivors would be proud of me too. So I can go under those situations. Plus, societally, I would be well perceived because of it. Because if I'm at these kind of environments, but I'm doing the human rights for all advocacy there, then my reputation is still intact. That means I'm not of disrepute. I'm not of ill repute. I'm not disreputable. So I can still go to those places. You're probably wondering, so Antonio, how will you go about sex industry shows and sex industry performances, how to handle such things? Well, the only way I could go is if I'm around a small amount of people and it's within small venues, and these are the kinds of people that allow me to have my fun undisturbed. And lastly, I allow them to have their fun undisturbed. But we have the condition of we won't put this on social media. We won't put this in print media. We won't put this on news media. We won't put this on mass media. And this is our shared fun. And we won't put this on gossip columns. That's the only way I could go. But if there are people there that want to put it all out there in all these forms of media, then I would have to have all of these showings and performances for me, free individual private showings and performances. That's how I feel about this subject. And I'm just remembering, when it comes to women, what they have told me is that they appreciate the fact that I'm not a cheater. they appreciate the fact that, oh, if you're in a relationship with a woman, y'all would have each other's passwords for everything. And if you're in a committed relationship, the only woman who would be sexting is your significant other, your woman. And we like the fact that we don't have to worry about sexting scandals nor revenge porn scandals regarding you. And they told me, Antonio, you're not the type that is a homewrecker. You're not the type to be the side piece of a married person or unmarried person without their significant other's approval and without their awareness. And they even said to me that when you're single, you're a solo polyamory kind of person. And they said when you're in a committed relationship, you are basically the perfect husband, or damn near the perfect husband. So I really appreciate all these compliments. They even said I'm not a deadbeat, absent father type. That part really just warms my heart. And they said, Antonio, if you're in a relationship, you wouldn't view porn or erotica without your significant other's permission. And you wouldn't even masturbate without your significant other's approval. That warmed my heart even more. And they said, you know, Antonio, if you're in a relationship, you wouldn't flirt with anybody else. The only person you would flirt with is if you're with your significant other. And they said to me that if you're in a relationship, you would not have any wandering eyes. That's not the kind of guy that you are. And these compliments just kept increasing the gratitude of my soul. The only thing I can say is that I have truly done the homework. Actually, romantically, to also let it be clear that I would never call out someone else's name during sex or during dating. I would lastly, I would not I don't do sexual comparisons. I don't do romantic comparisons either. It's not the kind of guy that I am. I am not a kiss and tell person. I do not reveal my romantic adventures nor my sexual adventures to the public. I do not betray intimate secrets. I do not reveal romantic confidential information and sexual confidential information to my inner circle, to my friends, to my family, to my colleagues, to my coworkers, to my associates, to my acquaintances, to my talk buddies, to my hangout buddies, with my small talk buddies, with people I'm cordial with, to my best friends, my close friends, my true friends, to anybody else I might be dating, to anybody else I might be having sex with. That's not the kind of person that I am by nature. So I don't kiss and tell because I am healthily discreet, healthily closed lips. Therefore, I maintain a healthy, discreet silence, and I am the healthy soul of healthy discretion. I don't reveal healthy sexual intimate secrets. I don't reveal healthy romantic intimate secrets either. I don't betray people by telling others about something that is healthily private. Again, I don't betray people by revealing something that's healthily private. That's just not who I am at my core. And there's more for me to share. I don't share private details of my sexual relationships and my romantic relationships in a nutshell. I've been in situations where people did, whether it was in college with my other classmates and the graphic details of their sex having was and is grotesque, and the graphic details of their dating lives, love lives, romance lives was revolting. So that's why I've made it a policy to make sure that when there's someone's telling me about sex and dating or love life, I've learned to ask, do these other people know or other person know that you're revealing this to me? Because if they don't know, it's wrong to tell me. So I just don't. Run off at the mouth when it comes to these sacred portions of my human living. I'm over and out.